There's a story about a small soap manufacturer in Cincinnati, Ohio, that was struggling in their business. At the time, there was a high demand for wallpaper cleaner. I know, we're not really familiar with that, but we're talking about the 1930s here, 1940s. And as they came up with this idea about a silly putty, if you will, that you could put on the wallpaper and snatch it off, it would clean the walls, it just didn't sell very well. The product was pretty much a failure for this small company. And as they were headed towards bankruptcy, the owner called his nephew, Joe McIver, and said, "Joe, you got to come and rescue us." One evening, Joe, sitting around the table with his brother Noah and his wife Kay, and they were talking about this putty and like how could they sell this putty, and you know, everybody around the world is going to want this putty to clean, you know, their wallpaper. Kay had the idea of taking it to her elementary school. And she took it to her elementary school, and the kids played with it, and she saw how it inspired their imagination. What was born was something of an idea that not only saved this small company in Cincinnati, it also inspired our imaginations and became Play-Doh. Now let me say this, Sanctuary Columbus Church is not endorsed by Play-Doh, okay? We don't endorse Play-Doh. I don't know if Play-Doh endorses any candidates or platform. It does make some nice product placement. Nevertheless, you know, that's all I'm doing. I just thought about the imagination that I had as a young person when I got that jar of Play-Doh and how it inspired my imagination to create and to make and to shape something out of nothing. This company that became Play-Doh has been around ever since 1950, and what we have now is something that kids still love and enjoy today, but not just kids, teenagers, adults even still love a jar of Play-Doh that would spark their imagination. We're in the second week of a sermon series called Chosen. And what came to mind is the metaphor of being chosen that's used throughout the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, the metaphor of the clay. But it's not just the clay by itself, it's the potter. But it's not just the potter by itself, it's the potter's wheel. And the clay and the potter and the wheel all working together to be this metaphor for how God shapes us. Here's the main idea for today, if you're taking notes. We are chosen vessels shaped by God to be like Jesus. I don't have clay. All I got is this Play-Doh. I don't have a wheel that I could put up here, you know, just for a sermon illustration. So we're going to have to work with this Play-Doh today. But as we work with this Play-Doh today, use your imagination and let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. If you're there in your Bibles or you're turning there, let me just give you a little bit of background. At this point in Jeremiah's ministry, it had reached its lowest point. I told you a little bit about Jeremiah last week. He was the one that God said to in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, "Before you were formed in the belly of your mother's womb, I knew you and I chose you and appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." Well, ministry wasn't going well. Work was not going well. And Jeremiah is questioning God, "Lord, what are you up to? It looks like the children of Israel have gone wayward. The leaders of the children of Israel, they are following false prophets. They are following wicked idols, and they are leading your people to do the same. God, what in the world is happening? And what are you going to do about it?" And God spoke to Jeremiah these words, chapter 18, verse 1. "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, and he said, 'Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord?
Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. This is the word of the Lord. And the people say, thanks be to God. Let it fill our minds, flow from our mouths, and free our hearts to live as the beloved children of God. This parable, this metaphor, if you will, of being shaped by God that is given to Jeremiah has some significant meaning for us as well. And the first significant meaning is this, it shouldn't be a big surprise that God is the divine potter. God is the divine potter. Our lives are in the hands, not of some invisible force, but our hands are in the hands of Almighty God. Our lives are in the hands of Almighty God. To recapture our imagination for this, you need to go back to Genesis chapter 2. As God is creating the heavens and the universe, he is forming something out of nothing. He gets to his most prized creation. In Genesis chapter 2, it says this, the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. God physically shaped Adam from the clay of the earth. And as he was shaping him and making his hands and making his legs and making his heart and making his brain, all of that didn't have any meaning, didn't have any life or purpose until he breathed on it. And it then began to take shape and life and form. This Adam that God created, the name Adam comes from the name Adham, which literally means from the earth or clay. We are clay. But God took this clay out of the ground because God had a divine imagination for that clay. And just like God had a divine imagination for the first Adam, God has a divine imagination for all humanity. Did you know that approximately 80% of the earth's surface, the land surface, is made up of clay? And as man was evolving, as man was growing and learning new things and creating new things, he began to take clay from the ground, the same clay that he came from, and he learned how to manipulate it and to use it, but it would take several long processes before that clay from the ground could be used. Come on, somebody. It had to have the twigs removed from it, and it had to have the rocks removed from it, and it had the roots to be removed from it. It would require great patience from an individual to work with clay. Can somebody say, please be patient with me, because God is not through with me yet. And just as the potter takes that clay, that lump of clay, and what seems like there is nothing of our lives and our lives are worthless, God takes us and he shapes us and he breathes something into us to remind us that we belong to him. You see, what's interesting about these tools, particularly of the first century, is that they weren't just bowls. They weren't just, you know, glasses. You know, we tend to look at, you know, pottery and we just think it is what it is. But no, this bowl would be the thing that would provide food for the hungry. This glass would provide water for the thirsty. These tools that they were made by the potter's hands had a purpose to them. And brothers and sisters, our lives have purpose in the hands of a divine potter. If you're looking at your life today and you're wondering, well, look, you don't know what's going on with me. You don't know the stuff that I've been through, the crap that I've been through. How is it that God would choose me and want me? It's because God made you and God loves you and God does have a purpose for your life. The fact that you are still here, as we said last week, is a reminder of this that we find in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that God, who has begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day
of Jesus Christ. That means God hasn't given up on you. No matter what condition your clay is in right now, no matter what stuff you got inside of you that needs to come out of you, God has not given up on you, and God is committed to you. God's an excellent craftsman. Not only does he have an imagination, he is an excellent craftsman. We don't have this kind of appreciation for pottery unless you start adulting and you have to pay for stuff yourself. Do you really appreciate, you know, what you paid for? We have these coffee mugs and tea mugs or whatever. These little special holiday mugs. They only come out between Thanksgiving and the New Year from Williams and Sonoma. Anybody know anything about Williams and Sonoma? Supposed to be a really nice company. I'm sure it's nice. It certainly did cost a lot of money. But one of the things about these mugs, I can't stand them, is I went to go heat up some tea recently. And as I was heating up the tea in the microwave, I didn't put it in a teapot and pour the water over. I heated it up in the microwave. Don't blame me. I wanted it fast and quick. I reached into the microwave when the time was done, grabbed the handle, and it about near burned my fingers off. I almost grabbed that thing and threw it down and said, we're not keeping these anymore. I hate them. They're too small. They burn your hands when you put them in the microwave. You know, the real fault, though, is not in the pottery. The real fault is not in the mugs, but in the one who made them. I'm just saying, Williams and Sonoma, can I get some mugs that don't burn my hands, please, for this holiday season? The problem is not with the pottery. The imagination of the one who makes it. And with God, the problem is not with God. God's imagination for us is that he sees when we have mistakes. He sees when we have shortcomings. He sees when we have stuff that needs to be rooted out. And he is committed to rooting it out because he's a potter that never gives up on us. But not only is God the divine potter, we need to remember that we are clay. We need to remember that we are clay. Not only did this metaphor come to the mind of Jeremiah, it also came to the prophet Isaiah. He says this, "Now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter, and we are the work of your hand." When you read this in Isaiah 64 and 9, what I hope you see and what I hope you understand is that there is a prophetic representation of the potter who is our Father, who cares for us, who loves us and will take care of us. And we are clay in his hand, and we are the works of his hand. But that means you got to understand that we are the moldable clay. Now, Plato molds quite easily in my hands, as you can see here. But clay, unfortunately, is not as easily moldable. I told you before, it goes through a long process. After you dig it out of the ground, you got to get all the roots and the rocks and the stuff out of it. But after you do that process, the potter or somebody, they beat it down. And then after they beat it down, they submerge it into some water. And then the water starts to work out the lumps in the clay. Then they pull it out of the water, drain it off, and then they beat it again. And then they stick it on the shelf so that it could weather naturally. And then the potter pulls it back off and then begins to say, now it is ready to be molded. And it goes through this entire process because of the imagination that the potter has for it. The clay has got some stuff that needs to be worked out. You know, every time I would work with Play-Doh, as I'm working with it now, I have never, ever seen Play-Doh talk back. Hello. Anybody ever work with clay? Have you ever had that shop class in eighth grade? You didn't see or hear the clay get cranky with the creator. It didn't get cranky with the potter, did it? No, we never seen a lump of clay get cranky. We never seen Play-Doh talk back, because the clay and the Play-Doh is moldable in the hands of the potter. And this is where we're really challenged. The question for us today is, are we yielded to the potter?
And so even though clay doesn't talk back, it can get stubborn. Even though Play-Doh doesn't talk back, we all have had some dry Play-Doh before. Anybody ever have some dry Play-Doh? You go and you're really excited to make something. You pull out the jar and it's all dry and empty. You can't do nothing with it. Clay can be stubborn. Play-Doh can be unmoldable because it's dry. Are you yielded to the potter? Is your life dry right now? The reality is some of us in our relationship with God and some of us in our relationship, in our spiritual growth, in our spiritual journeys, is just dry or just plain old stubborn. Are you moldable in the hands of the potter? Brothers and sisters, we can allow stubbornness and we can allow dryness to really take us off track in our relationship with God in the hands of the potter as we are chosen and trying to be shaped by God. But here's the reality, the difference between you and clay and you and Play-Doh is that you and I have a choice. Yes, this is the challenge. This is what makes that conversation about election so interesting is that, you know, is it God who chooses us or is it us who chooses God? And the answer is yes. Yes, God chooses you. And yes, you've got to choose God back. Yes, God chooses you. God picks you up out of the ground and he's molding you and he's pressing those things out of you. But the reality is that you've got to cooperate with God and the Holy Spirit as you take in the scripture and you listen to what Jesus says about what it means to look like him and be molded into his image. You've got to cooperate with God because your lack of cooperation will literally stall and stunt your spiritual growth. We're like clay, but we have a choice whether we stay in the hands of the potter. We have a choice as God is making us and is molding us and he's using our jobs to work out that impatience in our lives. He's using our relationships to teach us about forgiveness and he's using this time right now in our lives so we would learn what it means to love our enemies. God is taking all of these circumstances in our lives and he's shaping us and he's molding us. And our question is, are we being moldable in the hands of the potter? There's no greater damage, brothers and sisters, that we can do to our spiritual lives than to be stubborn, to be disobedient, to be unyielded to God. As it is, many songs come to mind, and a song came to mind, and I looked up the song, and then I had to see when the song was written and who wrote the song and, you know, these hymns that we sing in the church. And so I read about this 42-year-old woman in 1902 who sat in a prayer meeting with a broken heart. She served the Lord faithfully all her adult life in various capacities, all the while dreaming of her heart's desire to serve as a missionary. In this case, as she longed for God to open the door for her, the plans were moving forward, the support was coming in, and all of a sudden, things changed. The financial support actually began to dry up, and her dream had been put on standstill. Yet she went to the prayer meeting in hopes that God would open the door again. And heartbroken, she's pouring her heart out to the Lord, hardly able to focus on what was going on around her. There was someone who came alongside her, older than her, wiser than her, who laid her hand on her shoulder and said, "It really doesn't matter what you do with us, Lord. Just have your way with our lives." She left that prayer meeting and went back home and she searched the scriptures. And as she searched the scriptures, she came to this one here in Jeremiah 18, chapter 1, verses 6, the story of the potter shaping the clay. And before the night was over, a song bursted forth out of her heart. "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way was the song that came out of her heart as she was longing for God to do something with her. God was showing her, I am. If you sit still long enough to see it, this metaphor that Jeremiah was given and one that has inspired and helped people understand that God is doing something in their lives began when they believed and owned the hope, the faith that God is the divine potter. But not only is God the divine potter, we are the moldable clay, but not only we are the moldable clay, life is the wheel that God works with. I don't have a wheel to show y'all, but the potter would have this wheel, this stone wheel where the clay would be plopped down right on it and he would pump the wheel, and as the wheel spun, pouring water over the clay to make sure that it would remain moldable in her hands. And she began to fashion that clay pot into something beautiful. The potter has the ability to control the speed of the wheel and the pressure that the potter puts on the clay as it is molded, sometimes light, sometimes heavy, sometimes fast, sometimes slow. But the important thing here was not the speed of the wheel, not even the yieldedness of the clay, if you were, but that the clay stayed in the center of the wheel. You see, if that wheel, as it got spun around, if the clay got off center, it's hard for the potter to keep their hands on the clay so that they were molding it into something, just ever so gently using their hands to form it into something beautiful. The most important thing is that the clay stays in the center of the wheel. How do you know when you are yielded to God? How do you know when you're cooperating with the Holy Spirit in your life? It is when you stay in the center of the wheel. The center of the wheel that I'm talking about is the center of God's will for our lives. The center of God's will, where our primary concern is not, Lord, how long is it going to take for you to finish with me? The Lord says back to you, I just understand, I'm not finished with you yet. Lord, how often do I have to go through these challenges and these struggles? Just understand that I'm doing something with you, daughter. Just understand that I'm doing something with you, son. Beloved, just understand and know this, that what you need to do is stay in the center of the wheel. Staying in the center of the wheel looks like this. What the disciple John said to his followers in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, we are the sons of God, and it does not appear right now what we shall be. But we will know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What John says is that as you're growing up spiritually and as you're being shaped by God into the image of something that God is making you into, you are never quite complete until Jesus comes and returns for you. We're not done. The circumstances and the situations in our lives are all working in our lives to make us into the image of Christ. That argument you had last week, God's saying to you, brother, sister, in your response, are you moldable? In your response, are you more like Christ? As you watch what's happening around the world and you see where chaos is around the corner and things seem to be just falling apart everywhere you look, are you turning to the opinions of man or are you turning to the Word of God, which is shaping you Are you cooperating with the Holy Spirit in your life? That's the question. God wants to develop the character of Christ in our lives, the character that we read about in Galatians 5, the character that we read about in Matthew 5, the fruit of the Spirit and the Beatitudes, if you were. This is what God is shaping into us as we are being transformed to be made in the image of Christ. Now, what's interesting in that parable that Jeremiah, when he went down to the potter's house, he saw that the clay pot was marred. There were some imperfections in the clay pot. What the potter did not do was throw the pot away. He didn't take the clay and say, oh, this clay ain't working. Let me go ahead and get some other clay because, man, that clay ain't working no more. I'm just going to go ahead and choose some other clay. I'm done with that clay. It just don't follow me. It just don't work with me. It don't stay in the center. I'm done with that. I'm just throwing my hands up. I'm through. Give me another piece. Find me somebody else. Lord, have mercy. I am just done. And I'll go through all of the Play-Dohs until I find somebody who will just stay with me. No, God says, I'm staying with you. And I'm working out the imperfections. I'm working out the Mars. Because if I don't work those out, when I take you and I send you out to the world, I want to fill you up with my Holy Spirit. And as I fill you up with my Holy Spirit, you provide something that the world needs. I gotta stay working on you. Because the world needs Jesus. And you are my chosen vessel to be shaped into the image of Jesus. My prayer for you today, brothers and sisters, is that you would know that God is the divine potter, that we are the clay, and that life, all of life that you're going through right now, is God's wheel. It's his wheel, because he's shaping you. He sees some things in you. But understand, just remember, it's not just the imperfections that he sees. God has the prophetic, divine imagination to see what you can become. But you got to stay in his hand. You got to stay on the wheel. God's not done. The hardship, the struggle, the strain, God's not done. God's not done. God can take a marred clay and remake it. He can take an unyielding and rebellious life and make it into something worthwhile and useful. God's not done. He chose you to shape you because he's got a purpose for your life. Now, let me tell you this. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I urge you today to say, Lord, I yield. I surrender. God, I put my life in your hands. The way you do that, by trusting God, understanding that he's got an image for you, is that not only do you trust God, but you trust that God's Son is the image for your life. The image for your life is not the images out there, that some other famous person you want to be like, or whatever somebody else said about you or to you. No, the image that God has in mind for you is that you would be like his Son, Jesus. So putting your hope and your faith in God completely means to put your hope and your faith in Jesus Christ. If you make that commitment today, you gain a whole community of clay pots. Clay pots that got imperfections in them, because they know perfect people. Clay pots that still got some rebelliousness in them, got some resistance and some stubbornness in them, that God says, yep, I'm working with them too. I'm working with them too. Trust and believe. Trust and believe. I'm working with them too. You get to join some other clay pots. Lord, my prayer today is that all of us would see that we are like clay in your hands. For those, Lord God, who have not yet put their hope and trust in you, perhaps today is the day where they say, Lord, I surrender, God, I yield, and I see the image that you want to make me into is a better imagination than I even had for myself. This person, Jesus, this divine Son of God, Lord, you tell us that you are making us into his image. So for the person who put their faith and their hope and their trust in Jesus for the first time today, we say thank you. And for the person who put their faith and their hope and their trust in Jesus for who knows how many times, we say thank you. And our prayer, Lord God, is that we stay right in your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen.